When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to our Standing on the North Bank podcast from us here at Wales Online. Matt Davis here. Firstly, apologies for the lack of service over the last few weeks. Had a few issues, but that's all sorted now. And I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by our new Swansea City correspondent, Ian Mitchell-Moore.
Good afternoon, Mr. Davis. How are you doing?
Good, yes. Excellent to hear that you'll be our new correspondent at Liberty. But it's not at the Liberty where we'll start. We'll start straight away at Villa Park. I must admit that I thought that Graham Potter would pick a much changed side for the FA Cup game, to the extent where I wrote a whole article with 11 changes, I think, to the starting team. In fact, he only made one change, is that right?
Yes.
I think that was right, wasn't it?
Yeah, Baker Richardson coming in for McBurney, obviously, he was one of many who caught the sickness bug at the club.
And it was good, really, to see him pick a strong team, really. I think that's pretty much what the fans wanted to see, because if you look at the way that Swansea's season is panning out, they are unlikely to go down, fingers crossed. They're probably a little bit too far off the playoffs at the moment to mount a credible charge, but they're still obviously within spitting distance. But it was nice to see that he was taking the cup. He was giving it a fair bit of priority, should we say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, he's not yet named an unchanged team in the Championship yet this season. I think he's only one of two managers not to do so. So, you know, there are over 2,000 fans who made the journey up, and, you know, it's not the longest journey he'll make, but it's an expense nevertheless. And they were rewarded in the end with what was, in my opinion, the best performance, the most rounded performance of the whole season. You know, it's... And Potter has mentioned a bit more recently that he wants that consistency, and, you know, it's something that he's going to try and look at more in the second half of the season. Obviously, in the first 5-6 months, it's been trial and error to an extent. You know, he's trying to learn who's capable of what, whose positions are where, yeah. You know, where can they perform. So, yeah, I think we will see a bit more consistency now. And, you know, bearing in mind as well, it was his first game managing in the FA Cup as well, so it was a big day for him personally. And, you know, credit to him, he got his selection bang on, really.
I think Gitto pointed out in his column last week, just before the game, that Swansea have often been guilty of almost throwing away this competition, their chance in knockouts. Especially, you can kind of understand it perhaps when you are a top flight team struggling, that you will prioritise your league future. But it was nice to see that there was a strong team put out against Dean Smith's side. I'm going to ask you now, obviously, you've seen Swansea play a fair bit already this season, but as someone coming in now, new, fresh pair of eyes, who sort of really stood out for you so far this season? Before we go back and have a look at the Villa game particularly, who's really been your sort of standout performer?
Yeah, if you're asking me over the course of the season, I'd probably say the two standouts for me have been Conor Roberts, who's been a revelation, and, you know, has been the same with Wales as well.
Yeah.
But the other one for me is Bersant Celina. I think he's been... He was probably the best of the summer signings.
Yeah, I think so.
He does look a bit of a cut above, and he's got that little what's the word, the guile that maybe some others don't have.
Yeah.
And he's got a good, great vision. You know, his range of passing is absolutely wonderful, and he just seems that, you know, half a second ahead of other players on the pitch at times. You know, at a Championship level,
yeah,
given he's got that experience with his time with Ipswich, so. Yeah, you know, there's been some others as well. Van der Hoorn, I think, is really starting to deliver. But no, I'd have to pick Robertson and Celina as the standout so far.
I think Celina is quite clear that he is on a wavelength above some of the other players. He does link up well with his teammates, but you can tell that he's got that extra bit of quality about him, which obviously he's obviously capable of playing at a high level, and I think he's only going to improve. I'd probably add Matt Grimes into that list as well, who's been.
But there's been several, hasn't there? Oliver Burnie as well. He's delivered after a loan spell at Barnsley as well. So there are several that you could pick in there as well. Martin Olsen before his injury, Owen Mulder. But I mean, like I say, I think Roberts and Celine have been a cut above, probably.
Yeah, fair enough. If we then look at the game at Villa Park in isolation, I think you picked out in your talking points that Leroy Fair had a good game.
Yeah, I think that's a slight understatement. I thought he was excellent. It was comfortably his best performance of the season and potentially his best since he's been at Swansea. It was certainly one of. Graham Potter alluded to it after the game. He had a horrendous injury last season, rupturing your Achilles tendon, and it's not, you don't recover from them overnight, and even when you are ready to get back on the pitch, you're not fully up to speed, so a bit of patience required. And I had read a few comments on the piece saying that that they were happy with him, but let's not get carried away, which I completely agree with, because until he gets that level of consistency, we can't, we don't want to wax lyrical about him too much, but we got to see what he was capable of, and it was a phenomenal performance.
It's true. I mean, I think when he made his comeback, I think it was almost adrenaline that was getting him through for a few games. He was excellent, but he did seem to tire quite quickly, and there was a dip in his form, especially I think if you look at the game up at Rotherham, there was he was a weak link in that game, but there was definitely a slipping of his normally quite high standards. But yeah, it was good to see him get back to somewhere near his best. Courtney Baker Richardson, he was the only change. Came in for McBurney, who was suffering with this virus that was going around at Fairwood. How did you rate him?
Yeah, I thought he was impressive. He was in the right place for his goal early on. Got a bit of fortune with the way it went in. He managed to bundle it over in the end. But that comes from being in the right position in the first place. So, but I thought his hold up play, his link up play, it was a really intelligent display from someone so young and who hasn't had much football at that level. So, I spoke to Graham Potter at the press conference ahead of the Preston game, and he was delighted with his contribution in that game. And it's given that Bonnie and McBurney weren't available, who they will be available for the Preston game. Well, it's certainly given Potter food for thought, not just for that game, but for the remaining months of the season as well. So yeah, I really felt he delivered on the game at Villa.
Oh, initially when the team news came out just before the Villa game that Montero and Boney would miss the match, I was initially a bit disappointed, really, because I thought that was going to be an opportunity for them both to start that game. Maybe give, well, obviously McBurney was going to have a rest because he was obviously suffering from the same virus. I thought it was going to be an opportunity for them to get some much needed game time, which they've struggled for, and Boney just, he needs that bit of confidence, really, and that only comes with playing games. But it was good to see that Baker Richardson took his chance, and as you say, he now could be the bench option for Potter for the rest of the season, depending on what happens with Boney in terms of his future and his fitness as well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it does hinge on what happens with Wilf, whether he's fit for a start, does he play? And then if he is playing, is he contributing? Is it worth keeping? Or, is it still a case of they need to offload, which, probably is the case, given his wage. He's the highest earner at the club, so it does hinge on that. But like you say, it's a great fillip for somebody like Baker Richardson to get that opportunity at a time where, he might not have had that chance a year. Well, he probably wouldn't have had that chance a year ago, would he? So, and he took it well. Fair play to him, and you can only credit him for that.
One player we haven't seen for the last, well, I think it's near enough 3 months now, is Tom Carroll. Graham Potter touched on. We didn't necessarily just touch on it. He went into some detail, didn't he, on Tom Carroll's injury problems over the last 3 months. If you quickly just give a summary of what Graham said at his press conference this afternoon.
Yeah, it's been a bit of an odd one because we've not seen him since October, and it is a hip injury, so it's not something where he's a leg break or something that you'd expect to keep him out for a significant amount of time, but obviously there has been problems, and Potter said at his press conference that he's had a few setbacks, and returning to training he's been delayed. Obviously he was hoped that he'd have been back in training after the whole game in mid-December, just before Christmas. That didn't happen, but he now expects him to be back in training on Monday, the couple of days after the Preston game. So fingers crossed he's fit and firing, ready for towards the end of the month, and he could be an option to come back into the squad towards the end of the month and have an impact over the next few months.
It's frustrating really for someone like Carroll, who had such a difficult season last year, really sort of suffered with his confidence, but seemed to initially in the first few games at least was really starting to sort of get back into his stride, and then for such an injury to keep him out for so long, which you say initially started as something that wasn't going to keep him out for too long, but Potter said something about how complex the issue was, and it took quite a while for them to fully diagnose what the specific issue was.
Yeah, I mean, they said that there were complications in finding out what the actual diagnosis was, and you know there was talk, would he need surgery? And thankfully, Graham Potter's confident that that's not going to be required, that they have found a solution, and he's responded well to the treatment, and it does look like he's going to be back up and running soon enough, which of course is a major plus for him and for Swansea. But on Carroll himself, I thought he did start the season well. Obviously, he had a tough spell in the Premier League, particularly last season, as did many others, in fairness. But you know, I remember, I think it was the draw at Wigan earlier on in the season, where he had a great first half and then got forced off with injury in the second half there. So he's had some rotten luck, and you just hope that he can stay off the treatment table and you know, get a chance to prove his worth as he did for a few weeks in the opening month of the campaign.
Earlier on this week, there was an injury update on the club website saying that the six players that missed the game at Villa will be back in the fold. So that's, as I've got it, I think that's Boney, Jeff, Carter Vickers, Joel Osorio, Declan John and McBurney.
Yeah.
We were chatting just before we came on here about what the sort of team we think we'd see at Preston. Preston, you know, not exactly pulling up trees themselves, but Potter alluded to it in his press conference that the game against them earlier on this season, the Liberty, wasn't an easy one. They really had to battle that day. It'd be interesting to see what sort of team he goes with. You think that the team that did so well at Villa would probably remain in place, plus McBurney coming in for
Baker
Richardson.
Yeah.
Sorry, yes.
I'd have to agree. Yeah, you know, you can't. You know, I'd say you can't change things too much, but Potter's done it several times this season,
yeah,
where you expect him to name a certain team, and
that's
all of a
true.
Sudden there's three or four others in there. So
it's extremely difficult to keep.
To
keep an eye on Potter's changing teams and changing systems,
yeah,
as well. I mean, it certainly keeps the players and certainly keeps us on our toes as well. I think what I'd like to touch on here, he took Joe Roden, who's been a fantastic player so far this season. He took him out of the firing line for a couple of games earlier on, probably towards the end of last month, and I brought in Cameron Carter-Vickers, who, to be fair, hasn't put a foot wrong whenever he's been called upon. And I think that was really beneficial for Rome, just to take him out of the spotlight just for a couple of weeks, just to get some rest. You know, he is only 20,
yeah,
and having that many games, that they come thick and fast. I think that was quite good man management from Potter.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, to an extent, you might say he hasn't got much choice but to do that, because you can't risk these players of having, you know, getting burnout. Bearing in mind, it's his first full season at it's the highest level he's played. You can say the same of others, like, you know, McBurney, Connor Roberts. You know, it's the case with a few players, and you know, it's a Championship season. Some of these players are playing international football already as well, and you know, Roden's probably one of those who will be in the near future as well. So they have to be managed, you know, because they're still learning as well. They're very young players, and you know, it's easy to expect a lot of them week in, week out, when you've seen what they're capable of. But you know, they've got to be given that time to keep learning, and they're going to make mistakes as well. So they need to be given that time, and you know, sometimes the odd game here out there every so often can be the perfect tonic, as we've seen. I thought he was excellent against Villa, Joe Roden. He seems to be forming a really good partnership with Mike van der Hoorn, who he spoke to me after the Villa game, saying, you know, he's been an absolute leader off the pitch, and he's passed on so much good advice to him, so that there's really a good trust and a good partnership developing between those two there.
There's a school of thought that maybe that Van der Hoorn should be the skipper, the way that he's played with authority, that he's led by example. He hasn't quite got the same fair coming back from a long-term injury. I know that Van der Hoorn sort of stood in for Fair when he wasn't available. But it's good, I suppose, they've got two... Can we call Van der Hoorn a senior player? I suppose we do, compared to the others.
Yeah,
you
have to be, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's good that they've got two senior players there who have played the highest level and are... they lead by example on the pitch, and excellent for someone like Roden to play alongside.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, you can never have enough leaders in your team. You know, it doesn't matter how many you've got that are capable of. You don't have to have the armband to be a leader in the team, ultimately, do you? So, you know, I understand why Fur's got it. You know, you look at what he's done. You know, he's international caps as well. So you'd look to someone like him, and he did lead by example last time out. But Van der Hoorn, I think he's had a very solid season. Who, you know, Roden's going to learn so much off him over the next few months, and you know, during the course of his career with him while he's at Swansea, or yeah, while they're both at Swansea together. But like I say, yeah, it comes back to that point. You know, you want leaders all over the park, and someone like Van der Hoorn, he clearly doesn't need the armband, and you know, you've got that opportunity to give it to him when Fur perhaps is taken out of the firing line, and when he's, you know, not quite been able to play week in, week out, or, you know, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. So we'll see that. We've seen it already, and we'll continue to see it over the course of the season, I think, and it can only be a big plus for Graham Potter.
Absolutely. We obviously are in January. The transfer window is open, but it hasn't been particularly busy so far. Well, it hasn't been busy so far really across the board, but for Swansea especially, even Potter said in his press conference this afternoon that it has been quiet, hasn't it?
He's not wrong. You know, it's been deathly quiet for the opening 10 days or 11 days, whatever it is now. But I think the way he's been talking, you know, there's certain players who may not feel they're getting enough game time, or you know, aren't where they want to be really. They want to be playing week in, week out and getting more minutes. So he's said on numerous occasions now that he's happy to discuss things with them, and if certain offers come in, you know, they'll listen and they'll see what's what and what's best for the club. But until those offers come in or anything else happens, you know, he's got to just take what he's got and go from there. You know, he said today everyone who's at the squad is available for selection as long as they are fit and firing. So you know, you can't instantly say anyone's in the team, yeah, but likewise you can't say they're going either. So I think it's just a case of, you know, bottom line is it's looking increasingly like things are going to go down, if not to the last week, down to the wire, maybe even the last day or two. So I think it's just, you know, need a bit of patience, and it is frustrating for the fans. I fully understand those frustrations as well, but you know, Potter's clearly working hard, but you know, it's just not quite happening at the moment.
This is a hangover really that's left over from the summer when there was when Swansea were left with a threadbare squad. The fact that they are anywhere near the playoffs is testament really to what a good job Graham Potter has done. With Martin Olsen out for the rest of the season now, it leaves them with Declan John and Matt Grimes, I suppose, as options at left back, although Conor Roberts and Carl Norton have been deployed there. You think then Declan John really hasn't sort of nailed down that position. Matt Grimes is better as a midfielder, and then you've got right backs playing in a left back slot, which isn't again ideal. A left back would in an ideal world be on their agenda. They've been linked with a Belgian right back, Timothy Castagne,
you pronounce it, I hope.
Sorry to our Belgian followers there. Which it doesn't really make much sense, that one, for me. If indeed he is, perhaps he is he's billed as a right back, perhaps he's more of a utility man. But to spend, I think they want about €6 million for him. I think that would, you know, in a position where Swansea are already well stocked, it doesn't really make that much sense. But a defender, or certainly a utility fullback, would be handy for them. I do feel that another midfielder would be would be good, especially they have been missing, not necessarily Tom Carroll, but missing a body in that engine room. And they've massively struggled for goals. You know, they've created chances, they've been guilty of not taking them. But Burnley can't do it on his own. He works extremely hard and he's involved in a lot of the build-up play, but I don't think that he can shoulder that burden by himself. And unfortunately, I don't think that Boney can be relied upon in terms of his fitness. And also there are questions over whether he'll be here come January 31st anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've covered a fair few bases there that are probably the priorities, but I mean, I think it goes without saying a lot of it does hinge on Boney, but the striker situation is probably the most crucial because, you know, at the moment, heaven forbid if anything happens to McBurney or if he has an injury or anything like that, where does it leave him? Because can you rely, like you said, I'm not sure you can rely on Wilfred Boney to be fit, even if he is still at the club and, you know, he may even depart this month. So, you know, it's a risky situation. You know, yes, we've praised Baker Richardson, but again, can he deliver that week in, week out? It would be a tough ask if he was forced into
doing he's really raw as well.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I don't think you can talk about him leading the line twice a week for the rest of the season. I just don't think that he's not quite there yet.
Not at all, no.
And I'd have reservations about asking Boney to do that until the end of the season. Whether we are going to see a striker, I mean, they've been linked, but has not necessarily come from the Swansea end, but linked with Ayr United's Lawrence Shankland, who it seems to be that from his manager's comments on Ayr's website this afternoon suggests that he's not going to be going anywhere. Any deal, Ian McCall said, that would mean that he'd be loaned straight back to Ayr for the rest of the season. So it doesn't look like that deal is going to happen. It may happen if Swansea were to perhaps make a financial offer that would exceed what Ayr were asking for. It's linked with Nelson Oliveira. Now, Nelson Oliveira is linked pretty much every transfer window, and he's a firm favourite of the chairman. Speaking to people at the Norwich end, it's simply a case of Norwich sitting by the phone waiting for it to ring, because they are extremely keen to get him off the books at Carrow Road. It's whether they can actually, any team can persuade Oliveira to join them. I mean, Swansea have had links with him for at least three or four windows, really. Whether that will come to fruition, who knows? As Potter says, it's been incredibly quiet, and we have at least another 20 days of this.
Yeah, it might be quite a long 20 days, I'm afraid. But you know, on the Oliveira situation, he's not getting much of a look in at.
Well, he's not getting any look in at
all. Exactly.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Nothing.
So,
he hasn't played any football, which should be another reservation. If you think, well, I think he's had a few games for their under 23 side. In terms of, is he going to be match fit? There's question marks over attitude as well. Was he, you know, I saw there's been a debate online about whether he would improve Swansea. A few people have said he would, and you know, in some ways you've got to be inclined to agree, because if you're bringing in more firepower, that is, whoever it is, it's going to be a bonus, because you are obviously increasing your chances of getting a goal. But
it's that lift as well in the dressing room and competition for places as well, you know. But then again, you know, does that risk outweigh the reward perhaps? Because is he going to deliver what sort of fee would he command? And you know, he's been out of favour. Can't even say he's been out of form, because he's not been playing enough.
Yeah.
So, you know, and with good reason as well, because Norwich have had a great season so far. So, you know, it's not like he can have too many complaints, because whatever Daniel Farke and the others are doing down at Carrow Road, it's working for them. So, you know, there's a big thing to weigh up there if the Swans are, you know, genuinely interested in Nelson Oliveira.
In terms of outgoings, we've touched on Boney. It's I don't think it's any secret that if Swansea were to have interest or receive interest from, it's more than likely going to be a team in Turkey or perhaps maybe in the Middle East, because they're the only ones that really could perhaps get anywhere near his wages. That they'd listen to that because the fact that he is the highest earner by some distance at the club, and for a team in the Championship, for a player to be earning six figures is not far off crippling, I can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right to say, you know, you're looking certainly abroad, maybe, you know, the Chinese market or somewhere like that, where, you know, money doesn't seem to be much of a problem at the moment. But, you know, John Hartson gave some quote, I think it was only last week, where he'd said he'd love to see Wilfred Bonny at his former club, Celtic. But even then, that would have come with complications because, you know, as big a club as they are, you know, even they couldn't afford those type of wages. So that just sums up how difficult this window is. And, you know, he's on, even Premier League clubs couldn't afford his wage. You know, several Premier League clubs.
Not many teams want to take the risk on a player who's got, you know, a difficult injury record and is not getting any younger. In terms of, I think if we'd have gone back maybe a month or maybe just over a month ago, you'd have said that Nathan Dyer and Wayne Routledge will probably be moving on this month. But, you know, there's been a bit of a significant turnaround there for their fortunes. And to be fair, especially in Routledge's cases, he's been in superb form. You don't think that those two are going to be going anywhere now.
Yeah, credit to them. I mean, you know, they were two of the, probably the four that you'd expect you to certainly be likely to leave this month, along with Wilfred Bonny and Luciano Narsing. But the way they've come back into the squad, you know, they played a massive part in that win against Brentford in December, and since then they've had, you know, the Sheffield Wednesday win, Nathan Dyer scoring on I think it was his first goal in about a year or something like that against Villa in the Cup. So, and it's not just that, but the experience, they're helping those younger ones in the squad as well, and Potter's alluded to that on numerous occasions. So, you know, it could be that time where it gives some of the other players and perhaps some more fringe players the chance to, you know, have that breather and continue to develop and learn off those who have been there and done it for several years. So, yeah, it does look increasingly likely that they will stay, and not just stay, but have quite a big part to play as well.
Yeah, I mean, credit, as you say, credit where it's due, because they've been written off, you know, even by us in the media. So it's good to see, and it's, you know, they've really sort of proved some of the doubters wrong, and that's to, and hopefully to Swansea's benefit as well. Mm. You mentioned Narsing there. He was he named on the bench?
He was, yeah. He didn't come off the bench.
Didn't off the bench. Still going to find it hard for him, I think, to come back into the reckoning. Never say never, because obviously we've just talked about Routledge and Dyer, but I do think that's maybe going to be one step too far, considering Swans is so blessed in those wide areas.
It does seem to be the case. I mean, you know, we mentioned Routledge and Dyer, then you've got Montero when he's fit. You know, we all know what he's capable of. Daniel James, obviously he's had his injury problem, but it's nice to see him back. You know, obviously he came on at the weekend against Villa as well, so, you know, and he had a great spell before his injury. Yeah. So, you know, and then, you know, Joel Lesoro is another one. We've not seen much of him, but there's so many options there.
Byron Mackay as well. He can play wide, and Conor Roberts has obviously played wide as well. So, you know, I'm finding it hard to see Narsing back in the fold. But I'm sure, obviously, we'll keep everyone up to date really on what happens this month in terms of transfers. So Preston this weekend. You'll be going.
Certainly will. Yeah, my old stomping ground. Stayed up in Uclan in Preston, so it'll be good to get back up there again.
Fantastic. Okay, well, enjoy the trip. I'm sure we'll have plenty of reaction up on Wales Online over the weekend, on Saturday night and on Sunday, and we'll be back with the podcast this time next week. Okay,
cheers all. Cheers. All the best.